Welcome to the Passive Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast with your host, Andrew Keel. This is the podcast where you can get the education you need to invest 100% passively in the highly profitable niche of mobile home parks.
Hello and welcome to the Passive Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Keel, and thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited. We're going to continue our risk series, and we're going to talk about utility systems and utility infrastructure and the different risks associated. You know, when I first got into mobile home park investing, I had no idea the importance of the utility infrastructure. Luckily, I had a mentor that took me under his wing and taught me about, you know, all the different things to inspect and due diligence. I went to the MHU boot camp by Frank Rolfe and Dave Reynolds. And through that, I got a due diligence handbook that talked about the utility infrastructures and what to inspect. And that really opened my eyes. And I was grateful that I took that boot camp before I bought my first park because I knew what to look for. And my first park actually had 67 septic tanks. Every single home had its own concrete septic tank behind it, along with its own lateral lines going to the leach field. So, you know, going through due diligence on those and understanding and making sure that there was no problems was really, really important. But I had the due diligence to look for. When I was actually at the MHU boot camp a few years later, I met a guy who bought a mobile home park, got a good deal on it. Then he got some issues with his septic tanks and ended up having fines with the EPA of $10,000 per day because he was causing contamination and it was an environmental hazard. So there's big risks with the utility infrastructure. And I really want to step back a second and say, hey, you know, when you're buying a mobile home park, most of us are buying the land, the dirt underneath the homes. The tenants, you know, we prefer them to the tenants to own their homes. So what are we buying? We're buying the dirt and the utility infrastructure and the roads and the signage and fencing, things like that. But the most expensive land improvement is going to be the utility infrastructure. And that's why it's so important to understand that utility system and you do proper due diligence up front. So just at a high level, there's private utilities and then there's public utilities. So public utilities are much more preferred. That's like city provided, you know, city water and city sewer, where you connect up to the main and the city takes care of the wastewater treatment plants and, you know, the water, you know, making sure that it's clean and it's maintained and it's tested and so forth. So that's a much more preferred method when buying a mobile home park. If you're buying a park, which we have a few, and I've also invested passively in mobile home parks where they're on private systems, you know, the well system, the well water requires additional work, right? It requires additional chlorine reads, typically daily. It requires annual testing or quarterly testing to check out the contamination levels and so forth. And, you know, if you have an issue with the system, you know, with your holding tanks and so forth, you'll have to shut off the water to the park. And you're basically a public water system since the whole park and all the different homes are feeding off of that. So as you can imagine, there's additional risks that come with that and costs, right? Because now you're in charge. Instead of just having the city maintain all of that, you're in charge and you are the one maintaining it. So there's additional risks with the private well system. Now the sewer system, you know, this is private sewer systems can be the most expensive situation that you can get into. And this is why in the MHU bootcamp, Frank talks about, you know, for your first park or your first couple of parks, avoid, you know, things like a lagoon system, which a lagoon system, Frank has said that, you know, the EPA is kind of trying to discontinue those and different states are, you know, pro or against these lagoon systems. But we just, that's out of our purchase criteria. We don't even look at parks with lagoons because it's basically like a pond in the back of the park. And then there's typically like an aeration system that's like spraying the gray water, you know, out. And that's kind of how it cleans the sewage. So lagoon systems have high risk, right? You have to be fenced in this pond and then it's in the back of the park somewhere. So there's issues with that. And then wastewater treatment plants are another big expense. And that's why when you're looking to build a new park, you know, you're looking to connect into city utilities to get public utilities because the value of the park for a public utility park will be substantially higher than one with private utilities typically. And these wastewater treatment plants can cost upwards of $1 million plus to replace, and their useful life is typically 50 years long. So when you're buying your first couple of parks, Frank always advises, hey, stay away from these systems. Go for a base hit, go for a double with a public utility system, because you're not going to know what to look for. And then you're going to have to research and really understand those private systems to get in depth and make sure you know what you're buying. And remember, you got to realize that, hey, at the end of the day, what's the biggest risk? Well, the risk is $10,000 per day in fines to the EPA because you're contaminating, you know, a creek or something in the back of the park, and that all of your sewage is flowing into that. So there is big risk there, and that's why due diligence on these systems are so important and why private, in my opinion, adds a little bit more risk. So that's one part of this. We talked about, you know, in one of our parks, the well system needed to be replaced. The pump stopped working. So it was at a very bad time, like during COVID. And so it was going to be an extended period of time before we can get this pump replaced. So we were doing whatever we could. We went out and bought a ton of jugs of water, and we're providing that to all of the residents in the park. But you can see where a private well system, you know, has additional responsibilities, right? So I think that's the goal of this podcast, is just to kind of educate everybody on, you know, what's going on. And I want to go back to that gentleman I met at one of the MHU boot camps. He said, hey, I really wish I took this boot camp before I bought my first park, because I would have looked at these things before I bought it. And he didn't. So now he was taking the MHU boot camp after the fact and learning all of these additional, you know, due diligence items that he should have checked up front. So let's go into this a little bit more, you know, understanding a septic system, right? Septics are more common. You know, we own some parks with septic systems, but again, we don't own any wastewater treatment plants or lagoon systems. And that's because there's just additional things you need to know. You have to have a licensed operator to operate those and to come check on them. And then we do have some well systems, which are a little bit more, you know, reasonable. And I've invested passively in deals that have well systems, like in Northern Michigan. And the water coming just right out of the ground is very clean. And it's, you know, there's just different parts of the country where there's better, you know, aquifers and things like that, that, you know, can be tapped into. Septic systems. Yeah. So to replace, you know, typically the lateral lines, you know, roots, we'll get into those. And that can be $3,000 to replace some of those lateral lines. So there's expenses associated. In some states, you're not allowed to bill back. In some municipalities, they won't allow you to bill back for private systems like well and septic systems. So that's another thing to check in due diligence is, hey, if it's public, am I allowed to bill back the tenants for their usage? For private systems, am I allowed to bill them back? If I am, how much? You know, typically you can only match, you know, what the city's charging for their public utility, you know, water and sewer. So that's, again, you know, really important to understand up front, important to do proper due diligence and make sure that you're not, you know, making a mistake there, planning in your underwriting to bill everybody back for the costs of running a private utility system when the municipality won't allow you to do so. So let's go in here. The other thing I have on my list is lift stations. Lift stations are basically, how do I describe this? It's basically a pit in the lowest point of the, you know, topography, and all of the sewer lines will funnel into this pit. And it's basically a deep hole in the ground. And there's usually a catch basin that will catch, you know, the solids, and then the gray water will flow to the bottom. And there's a pump that will, you know, pump the gray water up to a main line, like a main, you know, public utility line that will connect in for the city sewer. So you can have a public, you know, city water, city sewer setup, but you have a lift station that you need to maintain because that's going to pump up your sewage to get into the main line. And these lift stations are expensive. One of my first deals I did, the lift station was actually going bad. So, you know, we inspected it beforehand with just a local plumber, but he, you know, wasn't the right outfit. He wasn't someone that could actually build a lift station if it needed to be replaced. He was just a local plumber. And he said, hey, the pumps are fine. I come out here and clean them out occasionally. And I've rebuilt the pumps in the past for the previous owner. But he didn't look at the walls because it's typically like, you know, cinder blocks circle that goes down into the ground. And this lift station was going bad, the one that we had purchased. And it was like, you know, it was so old. I think it was like 50, 60 years old, where the walls were starting to deteriorate and cause damage. So we had to replace the whole lift station to the tune of about $150,000. So you can see where that would, you know, not your average Joe plumber who has fixed the tanks in the lift station is going to know and be able to give you an in-depth analysis on, hey, how soon are we going to have to replace this whole lift station? And then what does that look like, right? Is the whole park going to be shut down where like the sewer system can't be used for a week or so because you're getting this replaced? So this was a huge issue that, again, in due diligence, now we kind of know who to contact, but we only know because we made a mistake on this one park that I, you know, originally purchased without, you know, understanding fully the risks of a park with a lift station. So another thing with a lift station is it can overflow. You know, if it's not pumping out, the pump's shut down. Typically, there's a light on top, and a lot of neighborhoods have lift stations as well, where you can, like, you know, drive by them, and they're usually fenced in, and it's basically this pit with a pump in the bottom. But it, you know, there'll be an audio and visual alarm that will go off if the pump's shut off for any reason, and that will alert people that, hey, this is about to overflow. You need to contact authorities as soon as possible to get this taken care of. And in one of our parks in Iowa, you know, it was about to overflow because the pump shut down. It was over a holiday, and, you know, I was the only one that got the phone call that was like, hey, all hands on deck. We need to figure this out and get the local plumber out there as soon as possible. Now, you typically, it depends on the size of the lift station and so forth. You'll typically have about 12 hours, maybe 24 hours, depending on the size, to get this fixed before it overflows. But could you imagine, you know, if there's $10,000 per day in fines for, you know, a failing septic system, imagine the fines for a whole lift station, a whole pit where a whole park's, you know, sewage is going into that. So again, additional risks. I'm not trying to scare you. We own several parks with lift stations and they work great. You know, that 99% of the time there's no issues, but that 1% of the time that there is, you just have to have the infrastructure and the team in place and the processes in place to jump on it right away, to have a local contact that can get out there right away and do an emergency service call, or get a septic company come out there and pump the lift station to pump, you know, the gray water out of there before it overflows to buy you more time. And that's something we've had to do in the past as well. Let's go through my notes here. One thing I had pulled up is at the MHU bootcamp, they give you a reference library. And inside of there, there's a due diligence checklist that I'm pretty sure Frank and Dave have used to buy their portfolio of mobile home parks. And if you go to the private utility section, I noticed that it's literally 3 pages long, and the public utility section is only like a page and a half. So you can see right there that, hey, instantly, you know, private utilities, things that you need to look for in due diligence, there's a lot more to it. Like well water says, how many wells are there? You know, have you reviewed the test results for the past 12 months? The construction details, getting, you know, like a blueprint of the construction of the well and what size the pumps are. Have you checked the license, the permits, the inspection reports for the well over the last 12 to 24 months? The flow meter reading for the past 12 months. Because yeah, it's a private system, but, you know, is there any leaks in the system that are causing, you know, your bill wouldn't technically go up, but there could be leaks if they're using more than the average, you know, number of gallons per week or per month or per day per unit. That could be an issue. The original drilling report to know how deep it is really important. The contractor name and contact info for the contractor that installed the well system. Is there an alarm if the pump goes down? The name and contact information for the certified operator. And then the regulatory contact information. So if you do have a violation, who do you need to contact to take care of that and get it resolved? So that's just for a well system right there. You know, all the things you need to look at. There's a whole section on wastewater treatment plants and septic systems and lift stations as well. Just additional questions you need to ask yourself. Like on a lift station, where's the location of the lift station? Typically, it's kind of hidden in the lowest part of the park, which may be in the middle of two homes, you know, in the back, in the middle of two homes in the park. Who maintains the lift station? How many pumps are there? Are there grinder pumps? Are there, you know, spare grinder pumps on hand in case one goes down? And then who gets the alarm call? If the audio and visual goes off, who gets the alarm call that needs to run out there? Who's your point of contact to solve this issue? So I think all of that is really, really important in addition to understanding what your utility lines are made out of. You know, I think this is huge. We were doing a due diligence on a park in Wisconsin, and the park came back where half of the park had Orangeburg sewer lines. And, you know, for those of you on YouTube, I can share my screen real quick and show you what this looks like. But basically, Orangeburg is like, you know, over time, it's kind of like a paper mache is what it turns into. Let me share my screen really quickly here and show you what Orangeburg sewer lines looks like, because it's pretty gross. A quick Google search here and see some images. And basically, you can look at this stuff and see, you know, it kind of just, it deteriorates. And it was something that we were back during one of the wars, we were trying to use less metal. And so we went to this Orangeburg stuff back in, I think, the 70s, and it's starting to deteriorate. It's reached its useful life, and now it's just deteriorating underground and causing a lot of backups and a lot of issues like that. So you can see where that, again, would be very expensive. And if you don't check for that in due diligence, now every month you're having to spend, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 to have someone come out and, you know, clean out your sewer system and dig down, right? Because these could be 5 to 10 feet down underground, your main lines could be, and to dig down and to replace those and then to, you know, infill that back is very expensive. So that can eat up your cash flow, you know, very quickly. I guess, you know, just understanding in conclusion here, what you're buying, what the utility infrastructure looks like, that's the most expensive part of what you're buying when you're buying a mobile home park that's all tenant-owned homes. And that's what you're going to be required to, you know, upkeep and to maintain. So understanding, you know, when the useful life expectancy is up, maybe it's in the next 5 years or so, and you need to raise more money and have extra cash available in case something happens. Understanding what your utility lines are made of, right? The sewer lines, is it, you know, orange clay sewer pipes, which is actually very common and okay? Or is it Orangeburg sewer lines, which is, you know, not very good and needs to be replaced, and you need to have money on hand to replace those. And then also with water lines, right? Water lines can eat you alive, causing, you know, several thousands of dollars in repair and maintenance fees. You know, we own some mobile home parks in northern Minnesota, and literally the water lines are 10 foot down. And every year the ground freezes and thaws, and it like shifts the whole ground. So when it does that, the water risers that are coming up off the main to connect into the homes, they move. And when they do that, it moves them off of the main line sometimes, and they'll pop off. And we have to spend money to dig 10 feet down, reinstall it, you know, fix the connection, and then re-infill all of that dirt. And it can be very, very expensive, usually around $3,000 to $4,000 per time that we have to do that. So understanding, hey, how deep are your water lines? What are they made out of? And then what part of the country are you buying this in? And just maybe, and, you know, have a little bit higher expense ratio on those parks you're buying up north, because we don't have any of those issues in our parks in, you know, South Georgia, for example. So it's just really, really important to understand that and how utility infrastructure impacts your overall mobile home park investment. Cold weather, when that gets under the trailers, it's really important. Like, you'll see some mobile home parks and you go through them in the south and the skirting's not applied, or they just kind of put wood over the bottom of the trailers. Where you go up north, it's really important that they have skirting, you know, and insulation under around the bottom of the mobile homes, so that they're keeping it really, you know, there's not drafts, wind and snow getting underneath of the homes, because in that underbelly is where all your water lines are. So it'll freeze up your water lines in the home, and it'll also cause just a lot of issues underneath of the trailer. It'll make the trailer itself colder during the winter if you're not insulated, and your electric bills and heating bills will be, you know, higher for the tenants, which again, you know, cuts down on the money they have available to pay rent. So we try to keep everything affordable. And when we're doing due diligence on parks up north, we check under all the trailers, whether they're park-owned homes or tenant-owned homes, and we give them a grade on, hey, is their insulation good here? Is the skirting good? Is there heat tape underneath the homes and connected from the water riser to where the water goes into the home? And then we also remind the tenants every fall, you know, via a notice and a text message that we blast to everybody to, hey, double check and check your heat tape. And then a week later, we go and check it for them and just confirm that they've kind of connected their heat tape and they've plugged in, because there's typically an outlet you have to plug in to get the heat tape to turn on underneath the mobile homes. So little things like that, you know, that an experienced mobile home park operator is going to do, where a first timer may not know to check, because I've been burned and spent so much money on fixing broken water lines because of freezing and thawing them out with a salamander, you know, in the middle of January is terrible. And it's very expensive, because think about it. If you're a plumber and you're going to go out and thaw out somebody's lines underneath of a mobile home in the middle of January, you're not going to do it for $100 or $200, right? You're going to do that and go sit in the cold for 4 hours while these things thaw out so that you can fix the PEX lining that's all frozen. You're going to charge a hefty fee to do that. So it's better to fix these things in the fall than it is when you're in the middle of a blizzard. So just things to think about and understand when you're investing in mobile home parks. And all of these things can add up and can really throw you off budget after closing if you're not careful to do proper due diligence. So again, I think investing with operators that have done this before, that have owned parks up north before investing with someone, could be prudent to just kind of make sure that you're getting someone seasoned that has, you know, learned from their mistakes in previous deals is pretty valuable in my opinion. Anyways, I hope you all got value out of this. I hope you, you know, enjoyed this. It was fun talking about it. I really love talking about mobile home parks. And whenever I can, it just gets me excited because I've learned so much and made mistakes. And I hope to, you know, help you prevent these mistakes if you're an operator or someone looking to buy your first park. And then if you're looking to invest passively into mobile home parks, I think you should just be aware, you know, be, you know, slightly educated at a minimum of, hey, what does a mobile home park look like? What are the risks? What does utility infrastructure look like? And, you know, if you haven't taken the MHU bootcamp, which is typically $2,000 or more for like a 3-day bootcamp, you know, at least now you would know, okay, you know, like right away, one of the first things I learned is, hey, don't buy parks with lagoon systems. And then stay away from wastewater treatment plant parks, you know, while you're new, until you have time and you have a team that can really dig into understanding these systems. And still to this day, we've stayed away from those two things from getting educated. So hopefully this kind of passes that on to you all. And I hope you got value out of this episode. Sorry for rambling a little bit. I appreciate you all. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good day.
Would you like to see mobile home park value add projects in progress? If so, follow us on Instagram at @passivemhpinvesting for photos and awesome videos from our recent mobile home park acquisitions. Once again, that's @passivemhpinvesting on Instagram. See you there.